to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. It's the 900th episode, which means we have a special guest star. Stay tuned. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
What's up?
Mike Jubenville, welcome.
Hello.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Hello.
And fresh off his birthday, working in a writer's room and working on some scripts, Jamie Giddens is back. Welcome back, Jamie.
I don't know what you're talking about any writer's room. I've been working the pole down here on Peachtree Industrial. My name is Miss Lurleen Jean. Hey, y'all. I've been wanting to audition for this here podcast for a long time. I love me the stories. I listen to the stories on the radio back in the day with my meemaw. And, I just love the stories.
Aren't you a little bit too old to be on a poll? Because I swear I saw Jillian say that you were 51 on Twitter.
No, I didn't. I said 50. Get it right when you try to Twitter stalk.
Age, why are you worried about age? Ain't nothing but a number. Going down ain't nothing but a thing. Oh, I guess can't quote R. Kelly anymore because he's one of them.
Yes, there. You can't do that.
No.
He's the snake pervert. How are y'all doing? I've missed you, jolly good people.
We've missed you too. And the reason why the 900th episode was delayed is because we wanted to make sure that we could get you on it one way or another. And you are here. So welcome back.
I smell the faint smell of passive aggression, but hello.
You smelled that too? I smelled it in New York.
So tell us what you've been up to since you've been gone.
Since I've been gone. No. Hello, audience. Hello, everyone, darlings. So, no, what I have been up to is creating a soap opera with Will Packer Media and Lionsgate for the queen of entertainment, Oprah Winfrey herself. So, yes, that is what I have been doing. Anyone who's listened to my time on this podcast has known that I've spent many a frustrated screaming moment, mostly fueled by the fact that I wanted to be doing it myself. And so, a long story short, I kept plugging away at it. Everyone knows that The Rich and the Ruthless, which was created by Victoria Rowell, is doing its second season. I served as creative consultant on season two. I co-wrote season one with her. So just, every little step kept plugging away and pitching. And, about a year and a half ago, we're friends now, but I didn't even know her then. Her name is Yolanda Lawrence, and she is a listener to the podcast.
Hey, girl.
So Yolanda reached out and, basically in a very New York way was like, why aren't you effing doing this? And I'm like,
she said, wait, she's a New Yorker.
She is. Well, originally, but now she's in L.A.
Hello, sis. Like, come reach out to me. What's up? Like, what you doing?
Well, she is a Jillian fan.
I'm from Brooklyn.
So long story short, she recommended me for this opportunity. Will Packer was wanting to create a soap, and I went in and pitched him, and we spent a year developing it. And then initially we were developing it for daytime, but then he had a very historic first look deal with OWN. And so I got a call one day. He calls me JG. He said, JG, we're pitching it to OWN. And I'm like, okay. So it's been an amazing whirlwind ever since then, and could not be happier. It is tentatively set to premiere in 2019. So, I am just writing and rewriting and, learning the ropes of, helping to run a TV show. And It has been a dream come true. So I cannot thank Yolanda enough. I cannot thank Will Packer enough. Of course, giving all honor to Oprah. And I can't thank Will Packer. I'm sorry, I've said his name already. Yeah. I can't thank Luke Kerr enough. I have to say this because I give him so much well-earned crap. But if he hadn't I was going what I thought was the traditional route, you know, 10 years ago, taking classes, writing specs. And when he came up with this wild idea to do a blog and a podcast about soap operas, I was very resistant. I was like, I don't want to do that because that'll hurt my chances. And it opened so many doors, and I wouldn't have gotten to work with Victoria Rowell without it. Yolanda wouldn't have heard me yelling about soap operas on this podcast without it. So,
Yolanda, I yell too. Fuck.
Would you have met Jackie Collins?
Yes, I would have met Jackie Collins. You can't take credit for everything I've created.
I'll try. So, Jamie, we're at 900 episodes. It took a year of convincing to actually get you on the podcast after it was launched, because you were originally going to, like, my original vision was it for it to be three of us, and you refused, so it started out as two of us. And so,
I remember I'd check in the early days of the blog, and Quartermain would be misspelled, and that would give me hives.
Right. So, what are some of your favorite memories from 900 episodes?
So, you know, since I'm definitely in a shouting out mood, I have to say, like, even after I agreed to do it the first couple of times, I was like, ugh, I don't know what this is about. People talking to me on the internet and getting all in my business. And plus, Mr. Kerr here, because I knew more about soaps than him, he would announce me as the all-knowing grand poobah of soaps, which has never been the case. And so people would...
And yet you've gotten jobs writing soaps?
No, but what it also caused me was a lot of score, because somebody would say, I know more about Search for Yesteryear's Last than you ever will, you asshole! I'm like, okay, why are we that mad about soap operas? But okay, no, but you asked about some of my favorite moments. So I will never forget the day I was sitting in Chili's in Corpus Christi, Texas, and Luke called and said, TV Guide Canada wrote about us. And I was on the fence about continuing to do it at that point. I was like, I don't know if this, you know, podcasting and blogging, you know, everybody's got a podcast now. It's all the rage. But back
then, it was not the case back then.
Podcast was. I was like, why can't this be a radio show? You know, I'm all old media. Like, but from the second we found out that we had a big fan in TV Guide Canada's Nelson Breaker, I was like, okay, so TV Guide Canada is writing about us. So, yeah, I think I'll do this for a little longer. And, you know, Nelson and I had, you know, a good fun time when he was covering the industry. We had a lot of ups and downs, you know, one really nasty Twitter fight. But I have to say, he was also super instrumental. He introduced me to Victoria Rowell, which led to me writing for her. So, yeah, I mean, there were just so many of those moments. Those podcasts that you and Nelson and Tom Cassiello and I would do, where we discussed, like, whatever earth-shattering development happened at that particular time in soaps. And, you know, it was, oh, this one, you know, I remember saying, I'm never watching Days again after they fired
Folks on the wheel.
And I mean, just thinking back to all of those moments and, you know, being able to, you know, Mike was already here with you from the beginning. And Mike was with us at another defunct site where we all met. But, you know, just remembering seeing some of the message board people that I really thought were sharp soap fans, like a little Jillian Bow, and, you know, telling Luke, you know, that one, I think that one could be a contender. Lord, did I know she'd be the thorn in my side. But
thorn in your side.
Just kidding. I mean, yeah, we had so many, you know, I'll never forget the first Emmy show that I did with y'all, Luke. Now, this was pre-Jillian, but Mike was still there. And certain former podcasters were drunk while we discussed the Emmys. And my journalistic integrity self back at that time, you know, I was such a, I know I annoyed all of the OG DC people because
not
I was
all a, of them, not all of
like,
them.
Where is the inverted pyramid in this story? And why is this person drunk on a podcast? We just should pretend to be drunk on podcasts. And Luke was like, oh, it's just all fan based. And I'm like, no, we must be professionals. So I was that asshole. Yes, I was. you know, I mean, there have been all kinds of great moments. The first daytime Emmys, every daytime Emmys that I actually ventured out for, I loved the one where, you know, Nelson Branco and Stephanie Sloan and I were on the CW. My whole family was like, oh, Lord, Jimmy is on the CW. So that was a great memory. Yeah, the, you know, discovering shows. Of course, there's been a lot of great daytime shows that we covered that had been on forever. But, you know, being there at the beginning of, you know, covering Imaginary Bitches and seeing Andrew Miller go from that to, you know, a go-to showrunner in Hollywood, covering Buppies and, you know, going crazy about Buppies. And Julian Brees is now go-to showrunner in Hollywood, working with Lee Daniels, and Robin Thede, who was on Buppies, has her own comedy show. She's like the only black female. And so just those moments when you're like, wait, these are people that we were like, y'all need to watch this, and now they're blowing up. And, you know, Divanity and seeing what Michael Caruso's wild, crazy brain could do. You know, that first promo of the Bay when Gregory Martin had Mary Beth Evans spinning around to Sarah. Now, because you know you put some popular music in. Look, Will Packer knows this already. Because I'm like, can I get a musical montage of three? You know, and the budget people are like, Jamie, that cost. I'm like, oh, but I need flashback set to music. So yeah, I mean, it's been a wild, wild ride with a lot of screaming, a lot of passionate arguments. I will say, while I was binging this week's soap so that I could be caught up, I thought about why I don't get angry anymore. And I will admit, it's like, well, now that I'm, you know, making my dreams come true, they don't make me as angry as they used to. But also, it's I've come to a realization over the last 10 years, soap opera will live forever. So many of my screams were thinking this genre that I love is going to go away, and now I don't feel that. I obviously there's probably going to be a shelf life to traditional 5-day a week soaps. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, we've been thinking that forever, but maybe, you know, and I firmly believe if they ever do go away, someone will reinvent them and they'll come, you know, roaring back, because the 5-day a week or 6-day a week form is still very popular throughout the world. In fact, I just saw that ITV is doing a 5 or 6-day a week reality soap. So, yeah, I think a lot of all of us, you know, not speaking for everybody, but that fear that if we don't get them together, that they're going to go away definitely fueled a lot of angst and, you know, some heated debates and heated moments, but I wouldn't trade any of it for the world. And yeah, I can't wait to actually weigh in, because, you know, I've been telling Luke, I'll come back, but I won't discuss, you know, I'm not going to be. But now I'm like, no, I mean, so here's the thing. So I'll go ahead and announce this. Luke knows this. So I am going to be coming back to podcasting, but it's going to be more special topics and interviews and things like that.
Because basically, he's going to be Barbara Walters with her primetime specials.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, for instance, you know, Search for Tomorrow, a retrospective, things like that, because I really don't want to, like, even before I got this opportunity, I was kind of done critiquing other people's writing every day, because I just think that's bad form when you are working as a writer to be, you know, critiquing everybody else's stuff. Plus, the experiences that I've had actually selling projects now shows me how damn hard it is. And I'm talking, if it was that hard for me with a web series and with developing a show, I can't imagine what it's like to try to actually put out 5 days of television. And there's no such thing as autonomy anymore. So these people, the stuff that we're seeing on our screen probably has 600 people weighing in, from executives to executives' wives to the network to all sorts of people, you know, the prop guy, you know, actors who won't play this and will play that and all this. So I really just was over sitting up every week and going, oh God, I hate this, I hate that, I hate the other. But that doesn't mean that I don't want to discuss certain boneheaded things and certain great things that I think can, the great things that seem to propel the genre, and the boneheaded things like losing your only popular black actress and you a show that is watched by a whole lot of black people. You know, those are things that I do think that need to be discussed, and it doesn't have to be, you know, yelling or screaming, but, you know, so I'll gingerly dip my foot back in here and there. So
I would also imagine that for every 10 good stories you come up with, you'd be lucky if you saw one of them. So you're actually working a lot harder off the record than you do when you sit down and present something.
You know, really, TV is a collaborative medium. So if you really want to just tell your story the way that you want it told, or you got to write a novel, or, you know, and even then, you know, your agent's going to have notes, and the editor at Simon & Schuster is going to have notes, and the marketing people are going to weigh in. And there's just a lot of factors, unless you're self-publishing your own material. There are a lot of now I'm not going so far as to say nothing should ever be critiqued, because that's just stupid. But for me, as someone who is kind of has transitioned to actually being on the other side, I just didn't want to keep, you know, because I was making myself sick hearing my own voice. And a lot of it for me was that I was that angry because I wished I was doing it. And it was frustrating because, yeah, I would think, oh, I could do this in my sleep. Well, there are a ton of good people working in daytime who could do it in their sleep, too. But they have to deal with notes and actors and this and that. And so there's just, and they have to turn out 90 to 100 page scripts, which is what daytime does, as opposed to primetime is like anywhere from, well, primetime is, you know, unless it's paid cable like HBO, they kind of get up there. They can get up into the late 50 pages. But broadcast is pretty much around 53, 55 pages. And, you know, what I'm doing on basic cable, it's 40 to 45 pages. So it's easy for my ass to be, you know, 45. You know, the daytime people have to put out 90-page scripts every damn day. Mm-hmm. And I think nobody sets out to create bad television. Nobody, even the people who make the most boneheaded decisions, even the Dina Higleys are the people that I have screeched about the most. Nobody sits down and says, I'm going to write a really shitty storyline and piss off everybody today. People sit down with
maybe
the best.
Ellen Wheeler.
No, she had a vision too. It just wasn't everybody else's vision. When they sit down, though, they had a reason and a vision and a thought process behind it. It just didn't resonate, or for whatever reason. And for some people, it did resonate. So anyway, that's my long day's journey tonight. So I'm glad to be back for this week. It'll be a while before you see me again.
Jillian, Jamie mentioned you being discovered in the comments. What are some of your favorite memories from 900 episodes?
Oh my God, like, I really needed to sit down and think about that. But, you know, I come from a journalism background like Jamie. That's how we initially bonded as well. So when I did the podcast, I was like, maybe I need to be a little bit more straight-laced or whatever. But that all flew out the window. I'd never forget It was a guiding. We were talking about guiding light. I can't remember who. Well, I see. I can forget some. It was somebody's christening child, and like something else big happened on that episode, and I'm all revved to go. And then Luke's like, Jillian, I'm like, yeah. And he's like, what did you think about it? I'm like, yeah. And he goes to christening, and that just literally had me like. That took the wind out
you
of
you know whose christening it was and why. Look, because we've given Luke so much crap about that, like he just cares about all christenings. But that was Lizzie Spaulding's.
Damn, I was like...
Luke Kerr loves him some M. Rowland. And so that was why we had to discuss all christenings.
Also helping that episode, too, but something more important.
Change in front of a tree instead of behind it.
Yeah. Oh. I can't remember what, but I was like, he was like, what do you think about the Christian? I was so dumbfounded for those first few like seconds. I was like, I thought to myself, did this motherfucker just ask me about christening? I was like, did he just do that? And I was like, I don't know, Luke, it's a christening. And he starts like trying to debate that. I'm like, Luke, man, let's just go to the christening, child. I was like, what? I was like,
but if you know what? If Luke wasn't our George Burns, we couldn't be Gracie.
Yeah. Because I was like, that's me. Like,
he is the perfect comedian straight man. He gives us the chance to, you know, well, he's the Betty White to our B. Arthur's and Rue McClanahan. I think Mike is the Rue McClanahan because
yeah,
he's all.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, that's
what
me.
I said. Josh is Sophia.
Oh. Oh, no.
Why Josh got to be old?
Thank you.
Okay.
Why can't I be the hoe?
Okay, you could be the hoe. But that was one of my moments. I think another moment for me that was really like a funny moment was, you know, Mr. Giddens loves him some Another World, child. So I had a few years ago, the talk was in New York. And I got invited by Angelica McDaniels to come and see it. And me and my slick partner, Greg, went to go and see it. So, you know, she was talking about the podcast and stuff. And she's like, so you're the GH fan. I was like, well. So I explained to her, you know, we was the ABC house until my sister went off to, she went to boarding school and came back. And them damn gals indoctrinated her into days. So I'm explaining all that to her and everything. And I, you know, I mentioned on the podcast, waiting for days to come on one day. I was out from school or something and my mom happened to be home. It was like summer break and Another World was on. And we were just, I'm just sitting there waiting for it to come on. And because I think ABC had preempted something. And I'm just sitting there waiting for days to come on. And I see this woman in this all white get up trying
cut
to
cut her mic.
No. So I'm just like, you know, I'm explaining it, like, you know, mom, like I'm explaining to my mom. She's like, what's going on? So I'm seeing this woman in all white. She's trying to chase these birds and then she slips and she falls and she bounces. Didn't know you could bounce on carpet, but she showed you could bounce on carpet. And my mom was like, what's going on with her? I said, I think she just said, oh man, I think she just lost her baby. And my mom was like, she shouldn't be having no baby with her old ass. And I was like,
Mike!
It happened to be his Rachel Corey. And I was explaining out on the podcast, and this child just had a meltdown. She said, I'm like, I can't jump. She shouldn't have been watching that. I'm like,
that Jillian Bo will never miss a chance to bring up every true Another World fan knows that we don't talk about post-1996. And you continue to reference those post-1996 storylines.
Here's the thing.
Lumina Ball, babies in a tree.
This is the thing, though. Jamie's yelling, you should have had her watch. I'm like, he just said I should have had her watch. Pre that, I'm like, does this fool think I got a time machine in my back pocket to make a watch before that? I was like, what?
And it probably led into a discussion about the wonders of Cecile Depolnier, but yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. I would not let people just take away the memories of the majesty that was Another World because of those last years.
I a tumor right here in my brain. I'm like, I was like, Jesus, can't comfort none of mine now. Woof, you can't do that.
Your beloved General Hospital is still on, and let's just say that some of its latter-day choices.
Listen, that's in their wheelhouse.
Week alone that I love this character, but Obrecht, Lisa, look, Phyllis Romilotti is like, you can't do this, Aunt Lisa, what is you doing? You're going to burn a Vita Z. Look at her. Vic Windham called me to tell you. I ain't never been that happy.
The lies you tell when she was Justine 24/7 on that show.
Any others, yeah. Jillian?
I think what was funny.
Watch Santa Barbara. I don't know what to do.
Oh my God, you and the Santa Barbara. I mean, I did watch some old episodes. It was kind of cool. I think another episode was when we had Ron on here, and he was trying to explain himself for some things that he did, and he was cool. He took it all in stride. You know, some showrunners would have been like, and some head writers would have been like, eh. But he took it all in stride on things. When I think it was a podcast that you guys did where he we all talked about Rex and Gigi was the worst couple. And it was on a list, and he was like, worst couple. And he, like, and he kept talking, and then he just couldn't let it go. He was like, I mean, worst couple, come on. And y'all were like, no, no. Like, he was a little bit in his feelings, but he wasn't like an ass about it, like how some people would dig their heels and be like, da, da, and use this as a platform to be like, da, 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 da. He was just like, and it was unedited. It just a loop, and yeah, Luke was like, Luke or Jamie was like, yeah, we got them as worst couple, and he was like,
that was probably Luke, because I liked Rex and Gigi.
And Luke just kept it pushing, and he was like, Ron was just like, huh? And
he was like, I didn't like Messica, and I will say, when I first met Mr. Carlovati in New York, we had, look, it was a very nice coffee meeting at Dean and DeLuca, gosh, that's what, 7 years ago, maybe. And we had, like, a good, like, because I was loving One Life, and so I was gushing about everything I loved, and he was like, well, you don't love everything, do you? And I was like, huh? He's like, you don't like Messica. And I was like, oh, Lord.
It's like he was playing dominoes and was getting ready to drop that double six on your ass. Like, bam, like, yeah. So I thought that was a cool episode, because, I mean, I really thought he was going to be like, let me tell y'all something and just, like, read. But he was just like, oh, come on. Like, I thought that was pretty cool, because we've seen in interviews that some people will dig their heels. Like, I mean, I can't get into the weeds, but one that comes to mind was when Michael Logan was that TV guide. He interviewed, what's her name? What we just talked about? Ellen Wheeler. And Ellen Wheeler tried to lie to Michael Logan. And Michael Logan pulled out that draw for and on was like, wait a minute, you said this on this date. And I'm like,
see, but you know, when the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost tell you what to do with a soap opera, that's some network notes. It's kind of hard to beat. Ellen told us that, you know, she didn't tell us because she certainly wouldn't have done an interview with us. But she said Jesus told her to reconfab God like that way. So you know, I ain't messing with them network notes. Only love can save the world.
Jesus said, don't put that on me. Jesus said, don't put that on me. Use a lie.
Jesus said he liked. We're Harley dancing, you know, nasty dancing across the floor. Da, 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 da. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Jesus was in P-Pack.
Yeah.
No, he was in Springfield, Illinois, proper.
Thank you.
He smited them when they went. He took his look. You know how the Bible talk about you be in the wilderness and get the manna from heaven? He was sprinkling a little manna when they were in P-Pack. Yeah.
Jillian, any others?
No, that's what I have about. Okay. That's what I have right about now.
Jillian wasn't the only one discovered in the comments. Josh was too, by Mike. Oh,
that's what they call it now. Huh? No.
So, but Josh, I'm like,
love, by the way.
Love in the afternoon.
I don't find that. All I find is damn shade in my comments. I'm like, what am I doing wrong here? What am I doing wrong? Why don't nobody slide up in my DMs but to cuss me out about talking about these shows?
Because you don't have what? Magic TV. You would have had a Magic TV. You'd have, somebody would have put a rig on it, right?
Yeah, so where y'all get y'all TV?
And I guess I never, 900 episodes, I don't know that I've ever asked Jillian this question. Jillian, did you actually listen to the podcast or did you just comment in the comments?
I actually just commented in the comments because I didn't know what podcasting was at that. I was like, what's a podcast?
See, and that's what I thought, which is why I was curious because I was about to ask Josh, I was like, Josh, I know you started out as a listener and met Mike later in the comments. What's it like going from listener, commenter to podcast co-host? And what are your favorite memories from those 900 episodes?
All set to Debbie Gibson's Foolish Beat.
Yeah. Where y'all get y'all TV from? Because I want to be beta. I want to be booed up because it's going to be winter soon.
You know how to straight man and listen to us.
I know. I'm in the wrong medium. I'm like, ugh. Ain't no straight man listening.
Luke starts Sports Confidential so Jillian can find her, man.
Yes.
That's the truth right there. I discovered Daytime Confidential when it was maybe episode 3 or 4, and I had always wanted something where I could hear people talk about soaps because I was in Alabama, I was in graduate school, I was just going back and forth to school, but I watched the shows, and so when I found it, I was like, oh, this is great. And then like about 5 or 6 episodes in, I tried to look it up today, but I couldn't find it. The very first episode where it was an NBC/CBS episode,
mm-hmm.
They brought Luke and Lisa brought in Mike, and I was in my kitchen. I was washing some dishes. I had
He a rider.
Never love again.
Wait, you wash dishes?
I know, right?
Oh, shade!
Look, man, look. Here at Daytime Confidential, we don't break up happy homes. We don't do that.
As someone who has visited your house, I can attest to the fact that he does dishes, at least when company's around.
Thank you.
You stop jumping up in folks' discussions. Yes. Fights. See, you that friend that be... See, look at her.
When
folks
up,
is fussing, you just be quiet.
Yeah. Sit there, drink your mimosa, and be like, I ain't in that.
I remember listening, and Michael's voice was different, obviously. And
he called him Michael, like Reva Shane says, Josh.
Joshua.
I know.
About them, Mike. Michael. Michael, Joshua. Tell us about making the love. Love letting y'all back to each other through a podcast.
I heard that voice and I was all in. I was like, look at that. That was like, all sexy and stuff. And we just started talking on the boards, and then it went the way the website came up, and y'all were on Facebook, and then you're on Twitter. And we spent like 4 years just talking on the boards and the social media and stuff before on the phone. And
y'all slow.
We were slow. We were in different states, slowly moving.
Which one of y'all was singing Janet? There's something I want to tell
probably
you.
Josh.
That would be me.
Oh, Josh. You know you ruining the whole effect that we Southerners mature faster. Years, Josh.
Well, but then Michael was also singing Let's Wait a While. So so all that happening, but I do have to say that y'all got me through graduate school.
Well, that makes me feel better because we're a bunch of GEDers. I'm just kidding.
Speak for yourself.
I got 2 degrees, sir, Kerr.
Shit, I got one too.
But I ain't got no grad degree, Josh.
No.
So are you a doctor or are you a master?
It's doctor. It's in his Twitter profile.
He's doctor.
You just a master of Mike's lair.
Okay, see, he's a doctor. I ain't messing with no master type thing.
Jesus.
Michael.
Let him finish. You were so nasty. Go ahead,
what?
Josh.
I will just say one thing that stands out to me, and it's already been brought up today. I Well, the one thing that sticks out to me is Melody Akles saying Alexandra Spalding coming out of a damn bush. Mm-hmm. That, yes. To this day, I will never forget that podcast, because that entire episode was hysterical, because I think it also had mentioned, had Michael talking about the fucking bold and the beautiful, quote unquote. The first time,
and how little has changed.
Mike is always so mad at bold.
Yeah, you all of bold messed up your credit score, something. You hot with them.
I was thinking about this week. Bold, out of all of the soap operas, has maintained what it really always was more than any other show. But yeah, Mike and Luke both can get in their
crap.
Bold.
Crap. This last week was painful. Like, just completely mind-blowing, yeah, bleeding from your eyes, painful.
Okay.
Go ahead, Joshua.
Okay, so to finish, I would say that it's kind of cool. It's like the coolest thing ever to be on here talking after having listened for so long and to sort of be starting to contribute to stuff. It's really cool, and I really appreciate the opportunity. It's just fun, though. It's just fun talking to you guys.
Oh, go on. Tell us.
I remember Josh on Twitter, because, like, you know, when I would clown Another World, Josh would try it. He would be like, I'm an Another World fan. And I'm like, so you can
go. Oh, he wouldn't try it. He would call it an ass, because he is an Another World lover. That's right. Look, he and Mike are more Another World lovers than me, because I have gotten many a Friday night text from Mike saying, guess what Josh and I are doing? We are watching Another World on YouTube on our flat screen in the living room. And I'm going, first of all, how you do that? Because I just be looking at it on my laptop. And then Mike sent me a picture how he had done configured his, how you do it, Mike, on the Roku.
It's just Apple TV. It's YouTube through Apple TV.
See, Josh told me he had tapes. And he was like, I'll make you a copy, child. Years later, where they at?
I think I still have the VHS of the final As the World Turns.
No,
episode.
You can keep that. I don't want that. You keep
when
that.
I went to New York to visit Jillian and all of our New York sudsy friends, Greggy. And Roger Newcomb, when I went
that
to
that was a fun trip.
Apartment. Roger had stacks of See, that's the thing. I started realizing I'm not the biggest Another World fan, am I? Because Roger Newcomb, we're in the city that does not sleep. And it's like, JB, I have Another World VHSs. Do you want to watch them? I'm like, no, this is New York. I want to go out and do unseemly things. Why? Another World VHS tapes on the day in New York fucking city. Do you know I'm from the South? I'm in New York. I want to go get ravished in a subway bathroom like I've read about in Jackie Collins' novels. In New York? I don't know if I would have been a soap fan if I lived in New York, to be honest, because I'd have been too busy at Studio 54. But anyway.
Did you have any favorite episodes, Josh?
Like I said, just the one that sticks out. I mean, a lot of them stick out to me, but the one that sticks out is Ben Pete back and Alexander come out of that damn bush. That's just, I remember the episode and I remember the commentary about it. And then, of course, the episode, this Mel always talking about babies didn't know where they were. I thought.
Oh, on the performer of the week.
Yeah, because those were classic. Because then just all of it. It got me through graduate school. It was great. It was comforting. I like things that are familiar, and you guys were familiar.
And there have been more times over the years where Mel's a mess from the M to the S just is apropos. Mike, you weren't on the first episode, but you were on very early episodes, so I think other than myself, you might have the highest count of episodes recorded. You were around back when we had the split episodes, ABC, CBS, and NBC, Performers of the Week, Top 5.
I was still doing that when I came on, and boy, that was one of the first things I put an end to.
it took the cancellation of a couple
of
soaps.
You put it into Performer
Not
of the
Performer
week?
Of the Week, no, the double episodes.
Oh, I'm like,
for
damn,
CBS and NBC
I'm like,
and
damn,
all those.
Can you do it again?
Greg, so, the first thing when I told him I was stepping away for a little bit, he was like, I'm bringing back Performer of the Week.
I like Performer of the Week, and they're sticking around.
Well,
you don't have to be on them if you don't want to. Mike, Mike, what are your favorite
dysfunctional family? Just like
what are your favorite memories and episodes of 900?
Well, I just remember when I started out, there were 9 soaps, and it was. It was a lot to listen. I actually was listening when you and Lisa were co-hosting together, and Lisa was taking you by the hand into the new world of the soap opera. She was a long time viewer.
She was very long suffering.
I feel a kindred spirit with this.
Yeah, Lisa.
Very
small in Lisa's. Lisa had watched everything for several years, and she knew a lot of stuff, and they had a great dynamic, so it was fun to listen to them. Then they asked me to come on because they wanted somebody to talk about As the World Turns.
Because
that's what I had been watching at the time and had been writing about, so it was kind of fun. I thought it would be a little awkward to just talk into a microphone and then hear it after, but I was very relaxed. It worked pretty well. They had me on every once in a while. And so the early memories of starting out, which seems so long ago now.
Well, it's been 12 years.
Yeah. So those are really good memories for me. And then as things kind of progressed and changed, change is always kind of not comfortable for a lot of people. But I understand that a lot of things have to happen to evolve. So I thought when we started doing interviews with people, I thought that was kind of a cool thing. We got to talk to – I got to be on an interview with Colleen Zenk, which was – there was no way in this universe I would ever be able to talk to her. Mm-hmm. And she is hands down my favorite soap performer over the years, her and Robin Mattson. So to be able to have that opportunity was great. To have the rotating people that were in the industry, like, we did with Tom Cassiello, Tom mm-hmm. Racina, Roger Newcomb. I think Nelson had been done a few of those. So it was kind of.
He was Sarah on more Babel, than a couple.
And Sarah Babel, who's gone on to her own great reward. And I feel like
wait. That sounds a little bit death-like. You might want to rephrase that.
He's from Boston, so that doesn't mean if Josh or I said she had gone on to her reward, that
her would... great reward. Well, hey, I'm from the Midwest. When you say you go on to your great reward, that is not a job. Right that is like the great beyond, and she's very much alive.
No. I meant she
put in a lot of work to get to where she was.
She's not dead. She's just younger.
Right. Mike made it seem like she was in the upper room. I'm like, when that happened? Oh my God.
I was going to say, I just saw photos of her at San Diego Comic-Con. What happened?
Yeah, that's when that happened.
Well, yes. Yes.
Jesus did not call her home. So.
No, she's old.
Yeah, her number, she gonna be in that number. Wait a minute, Sarah is Jewish, so she is like, y'all are y'all Jesus, what are y'all talking
about? Oh, Lord.
Ain't nobody sitting shiver for her yet. I'm like, damn, Mike.
Anyway, yes, Sarah Babel.
So we had, that was kind of fun to have different points of view of people's experience, what they wrote, how things work. I kind of like that.
Michelle Jean, Aaron Harris. A lot, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to finally meet Mel in person after Guiding Light went off the air. There was a So Long Springfield tour. So, and they came to Pittsburgh, and I was living there at the time. So, Mel came and we got to interview some of the group. And that was a lot of fun to actually get to meet them. And what was really kind of cool about that event was because that show had been on for so long. There was so much history with the viewers in that room. Guiding Light was one of the few places in the country that outpaced General Hospital in popularity. And to go there and see young women with their mother, their grandmother, and their great-grandmother. So, and you could follow their line from radio to TV. It was just really amazing to hear their stories. So that was a lot of fun. But my personal favorite story was the first time I broke myself and used the F-bomb on the thing when it got to me, because Nelson Branco gave me my 15 minutes of fame by putting that in his TV Guy Canada. And that's probably the most it had the best response from all of you, because you never expected me to say it. But I did. I was like, that show's a fucking mess. And
and nothing still has changed.
Dude, I made his column, and it just was like, wow, that was fun. But I think that was my 15 minutes right there.
You act like Brad Bell just ran your credit up. Are you mad at that man?
I'm sure there were other people that agree with me at the time. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to lie. We all know that it's never been my favorite.
12 years, you've been consistent. I'm like, shit. It's like, it wasn't me. I run your credit up. Shit.
So when you were slow rolling it with Josh, what brought you together?
Now, what kind of nasty kind of taste?
Josh was the one who was saying it was going slow, that Mike was going slow.
He said there's not no rolling, though.
No,
it was slow. I really don't want to get into my personal life, but all I'm going to say is what was happening was happening slowly for a reason. So I will just say that
an ebook about this romance.
I commented. I used to go onto the DC website as a podcaster and a writer, and I still do it. I comment and interact with people, and I would say something, because at the time when the General Hospital had their intense fan wars between Liz and Sam, people would get so nasty, and then Josh would put something in kind of sarcastically, but I understood it was supposed to be funny, so I could we could follow each other's conversation just in a thread of hate. So that's kind of how it started.
Not on fan wars. It's like, you can have them. No, you can
what's
have
that
them.
Book, Love Amongst Cholera, or what's that?
Well,
love
what it is, because it became that thing of somebody just throwing in something humorous to lighten up the mood, because they were vicious at each other. And
yeah, CH is that show where the fan base wars are like no other, and I can't sit on here and act like I can clutch pearls, because one of the first when I started employing a strategy to really get us, you know, more page views and stuff, one of the first things I noticed, if ABC would have ever noticed it, I think GH's ratings would be so much better, and
yes.
Kelly Monaco and Becky Herbst would be having primetime development deals. But that was one of the first things I noticed, is how, you know, it was akin to, because, you know, there was a lot of discussion at that time about fan wars in popular culture. And that's a pretty social media era thing. Because I think back even to my watching soaps in as a kid, and yeah, Bo and Hope were my favorite couple, but I didn't hate when he was, you know, with Stefano's daughter, during That's an Even Better Thing. So I never really, but you know, that was a real GH, and not just with Jason and Sam, but you know, Sonny and his various women used to really cause that type of. Mm-hmm. Which, that to those shows' credits, I mean, if you make fans get that fired up about your couplings, you're doing something right. Mm-hmm. But one thing I noticed with GH is that they wouldn't, in the old, like, Bill Bell and his son would have ran the wheels off of Jason, Sam, and
Elizabeth.
And Elizabeth, if they would have noticed that type of, but Brian Franz was all about, you know, his view of the show, and he always felt that Sam was the bigger get, because Kelly Monaco had so much success outside of daytime, and you know, was well known due to Dancing with the Stars and things like that. So ABC has always been very, at least ever since we've been covering this, they don't try to do the organic run the wheels off of a soap triangle. They go ahead and let the executives say, okay, this one, our focus group data is saying this one is the most popular, so we're just going to minimize the other one. So one thing I started doing was ramping up the hell out of the liaison fan base, because number one, I did organically like the couple, and everyone always thought, oh, did you like them back when she helped him in the train trestle and all that? Or I'm like, no, not really. Back then, I was a diehard Lucky and Liz fan, so I was not amused when Jason and Liz first started bonding, because I'm like, no, Lucky ain't dead. Helena just faked his death with that evil Cesar, and he's going to come back. Then he came back as Jacob Young, and I'm like, yeah, never mind. Hated it. But I didn't really like Jason and Liz until they – everything. This is so funny. So many of my – like, I have a really good friend who is a huge GH fan who writes for some very highbrow primetime shows, and it shocks me to this day that she liked soaps. But for so many women who don't like the Liz character, and I guess it's because I'm a gay man, but it's like the same reason that they hate her is what really made me like her with Jason. My friend was like, ugh, Jamie, I used to like Liz until she just demeaned herself by walking up those stairs for some penis. And I was like, oh, that's when I started really loving her. I was like, girl, take a pause, take a breath. Ooh, take a deep breath. Get on up there. Come on. A few more steps. Come on. Get on up there. Get you some wet naps and go take care of stuff and be like, hey, Jason, how you doing? I heard you and Sam was having problems. So I loved that moment. And, you know, but, you know, and
nasty here we go. Sweaty running up that damn stairs. Thanks, so. Funky dust. Funky cat.
Liked it.
At least she showers between guys.
No, she didn't. Oh.
I see Luke just spoke to something that has led to many of our off hour. It don't bother me anymore. But now what he just said, that Sam shade he just threw, ain't nobody going to say nothing about him because he said it. But if I had said that back in the day, I'd have been all kind of fat black bastards all over Twitter. Luke shaded Sam just as much as me, but y'all think he's so adorable and forgetful, and oh, he's so cuddly and cutesy. But I was a fat black bastard for saying that. But I like Sam now. I've liked Sam for the last few years. And no, it is not because of Drew. I started liking Sam when John McBain came to when they did that whole, you know, crossover event. And I started liking her with John McBain because I was like, ooh, because I used to like Port Charles and stuff. But Sam, in terms of a flip of characters, Sam has gone from a character I could not stand to one of my favorite characters on the show. And I thought her and Drew's romance was so real and so relatable. And again, ABC is that network that when they break up a couple, they don't even keep it organic. Like, Drew and Sam just can have nothing to do with each other anymore because they're not in scenes. And that's just as frustrating as when Jason and Liz couldn't be together anymore, so they had no scenes. And I'm like, why is that logic? That's certainly not CBS and Brad Bell or Bill Bell logic. He had those characters tied together forever. You know, Ridge might be with Taylor, but he was going to be looking at Logan from across the chemistry lab, and she was gonna be like, oh, Rich, you know. But on ABC it's like, deuces, y'all broke up, you don't know her no more, don't speak, don't make eye contact. No, we want y'all to like this couple, and we want you to buy this video collection. So don't even look at the other couple.
That,
and I've just never understood,
been done before, even though God and Light did that, but whatever.
Mike, did you have any other favorite memories before we get to mine?
No, I mean,
what'd you say?
You a Jason fan? Oh, I was saying you're a Jason fan, and you just shaded that collection. I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
I'm gonna keep it real. Don't say something stupid like it's never been done before, because it has. Don't do that.
I guess they're saying that they've never done a branded content streaming thing brought to you by Clorox. If I'm just
say that, then, because
Didn't they have Roger Thorpe, the Vintage Years, and Reva, the Scarlet Years? But those were VHS, so maybe this is a first in streaming. I don't know.
Aw, so nice. Get out of here. Go back.
To give her props, because we do shade her a lot. the soap opera that really did a lot of the firsts in the whole internet age was Guiding Light. Ellen Wheeler, for all of her problematic, you know, trying to put her morality and her faith into her shows, which was really the problem for me. But she was very groundbreaking in a lot of the stuff she did. They did podcasts. They had like a Guiding Light podcast before anybody else. They had web series.
I wish that would be such a great thing if the they did it for World Turns too.
Yeah,
to have a podcast you could listen to instead of watching, because I think that would save, you know.
PNG did a whole lot of innovative stuff there at the end, trying to you know, keep it going. And the thing of it is that I also have come to realize about this, we hate that those shows were canceled, but none of them were failures. I mean, having a show that premiered in 1937 be canceled in, what, 2009? That is the most successful TV show in history, or continuing show. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, yeah, I mean, these shows nowadays, Empire's in season 5, and it's considered long in the tooth and called long running. You know, all of these, except for, you know, there were definitely some flash in the pans. Passions ran, what, 9?
Sunset Beach.
Yeah, though that one really was, what, 2 years. Oh, yeah, but, you know, but for the most part, all of these shows will go down as wildly successful and, you know, very lucrative. And what's happened, what we've been experiencing since 2008 is people not taking a deep breath and saying, okay, how can we figure out how to best entertain people and monetize these shows for the current era and not lead and write and produce in a constant state of fear of ratings erosion and, you know, revolving door of executives and blah, blah, blah. And those are some of the things we'll be discussing on my special episodes.
Special guest starring episodes. Mike, anything else before we go?
Not really. I'm just going to give you a little heat for that comment about Sam, because that seems to be the only thing that people that don't like her remember. There have been plenty of guys.
No. There are plenty of things that I can go into about Sam.
Let him talk. Shut your face. Go ahead, Michael.
I was
going to say,
there have been plenty of men on soaps who go from woman to woman without showering in between, and nobody seems to have a problem with that. You can't slut shame a woman.
All right,
it is not about slut shaming.
And let's be real. If I had the chance to go between, I'm not going to say that. I have to remember I'm a brand now.
Let's just step away from that.
Don't be sitting on Sam, Luke.
There, 900 episodes provides lots of memories. I recently went back for a project that I'm working on and was listening to the early episodes, and boy, you feel green when you listen to the early episodes. When we first recorded those, when Lisa and I recorded them, I mentioned it earlier, but I'd wanted Jamie to be on the podcast and have it be the three of us. And it didn't work out because Jamie wasn't interested, but Lisa was up for it. But my concern was back then, because Lisa, Belinda, Mike, Jamie, and I, and even Reagan in a form, and Danielle had all been at another site. And my concern was that something would happen. Word would get out that I was launching a podcast and it would be torpedoed. And so Lisa and I recorded like 4 to 6 episodes ahead, so that we had like a full month's worth of content to go live all at once. That way it wouldn't be something where people could say that like we had been stepped on or they had stepped on us. And she was a trooper. One of the things that I loved, I mean, about her, in addition to what Mike pointed out about everything that she knew about soaps, was her pure passion for Kendall and Zach. Now, I hated Zach. Yeah. I hated Zach immensely, but she loved him. And Dan Gauthier, she loved it. Dan Gauthier
That's
as well.
Right,
I mean, there were two. Could do no wrong. And I have very fond memories of just that dynamic that we had. It was fun, but it was also listening.
Wait a minute,
I'm green.
Lost. What about Dan Gauthier? What did he have to do?
Oh, her.
He was on One Life to Live.
Oh, I forgot about that. You know what? Yeah. I was like, what were y'all talking about? Teen Witch.
She was in love with him.
You know what I think of him? I think about Teen Witch. But that's right. He was one of the 5011 dozen Kevin Buchanans.
Yeah. Yes. So over the years, the podcast co-hosts evolved and changed. Lisa, Belinda, Danielle, Reagan, Mel, a number of different people have come on. Everybody has contributed in their own way, providing different voices and aspects, which I always like. I know it's going to sound stupid, but I like the fact that we're a group of people talking. Back in the day, when this podcast launched, there wasn't really a view type podcast that had a whole bunch of perspectives. New viewers, which newer viewers, which was myself, older viewers, which was Jamie. Jamie says that he doesn't like me calling him the historian, but I know for a fact, because he's told me the story, that in his current role, He also gets credited for knowing a lot of stuff. So it's not like this is uncommon for people he works with.
I can share this. Will Packer teases that I could I have a reference point for every. So if we're in a pitch, he's like, just be warned. Jamie's going to say in 1957 on Dallas.
So Jamie,
You ain't Jabinon, okay?
But pretty much.
And so it's one of those things where Jamie doesn't like to have himself be called a historian, but
our audience is made up of a lot of dyed-in-the-wool soap fans. And so, yeah, when you first started saying that, and I would invariably you'd get something wrong, because, you know, back then, pre-YouTube, you couldn't reference everything. I'll never forget, I'm from the South. We add extra syllables to everything. And so I drawled a little too long on Cecile's last name on one podcast, and somebody came for me. Her name is not Deponier. And I'm like, I jokes, you trying to be funny. But, that's why I love hearing Josh, because when he said show, I said, look, someone else who puts extra yes!
Some of my favorite episodes, Blacktail, that was a good one. That's one that fans always reference. Back in the day, I might have been a little bit obsessed with Greenlee, so there's an episode in which I have a breakdown.
Thing you changed.
there's an episode where I might have had a breakdown about Sabine Singh as Greenlee, because
you're
that did awful not.
Awful about that poor woman. She just
did not well.
Jamie mentioned the people who we've worked with or had a opportunity to feature, like Divanity, Michael Caruso. I also wanted to give a shout out to Julianne Emery, who had Then We Got Help. She's now a very
in-demand character actress.
Exactly. But whenever I see her on one of the shows, like she's on Preacher on AMC, I always go back to Then We Got Help and how much I just loved that little gem of a web series. Jamie mentioned Imaginary Bitches. That was, boy, I would love to see Eden Regal back in daytime. I don't know if it will ever happen, but boy, I would love to see it. Bitchy Bangs, was a highlight for me. There was another shout out on soaps. I don't remember the details. I know there was another one. I'd have to go back and do the research on it. Jeopardy. Being mentioned on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
When I got the call that we had been featured on Jeopardy, I was gobsmacked. Interviews. We've had a lot of interviews over the years. There's some that have made us more famous than others. Obviously, the Victoria Rowell interview was a big deal. Victoria is, of course, a friend of the podcast, and we love her immensely, and I would love nothing more than to see her back on The Young and the Restless, though that is not likely to happen.
She has a great new show called The Rich and the Ruthless.
Right, exactly. But Joseph Mascolo will always stand out as one of my favorite interviews.
Great interview.
The people who I want to to interview on this podcast. Joseph Mascolo is basically the day's equivalent of David Canary. I would have loved to have visited David Canary, or visit with David Canary on the podcast.
Well, your ass should have come to the Emmys, like I used to always tell you, because I had a great meeting with David and his wife, Bo Canary.
Well, and it's interesting that you mention that, because you guys, like, for me, being in soaps and being on the podcast has never necessarily been about necessarily meeting the stars, but I started this because I enjoyed the genre. But there are a couple people.
Oh, I did. Speak for me. I wanted to be cast. What are you talking about?
There are a few people who I still would like to meet who are in the industry, but I've been able to live vicariously through Jamie's adventures at the Emmys, and seeing him as on, like, the show for the Emmys was a highlight. Also getting the calls from him when he's on the red carpet.
And
well,
shout
not
out
a
to
highlight.
The last good producer of the Emmys, Jim Romanovich. I know he got a lot of crap from people. Oh, he turned it into an infomercial. Oh, this
Ooh,
and
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the last one that was in Vegas. Yeah, that was
all cool. I know is he treated the actual soap press very well. Those
yes,
of us who actually, he wasn't desperately clawing for some Vine girls or this or that, or causing all kind of shenanigans and scandals by giving out the wrong image to the wrong people, which that was, he was just the producer. But, you know, I mean, he was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, he was good and to us. Yeah,
Luke, you should have come because, I met David and his wife, and they were just down-home people. I was like, wow, I would have figured, you know, especially with David being, I mean, all the way from Bonanza to everything.
Well, you've suggested that I come to the Emmys sometime, but I think how I want to go to the Emmys and how you want me to go to the Emmys are two entirely different things.
You
want to
be a diva, bitch.
No, I yes, want to go to the I want to go to the Emmys, have a seat, and not have to worry about anything. That's all I want to.
Diva.
Go watch the show. Oh, so my black ass can be on the red carpet, wow, sweat through ball. With next to people,
you're also the one who won't let us forget that you have two journalism degrees. So there's a little bit of a difference in expectations.
I have to admit, every time the Emmys are on, even when it was on the daytime during the day and it would rotate networks, I've always wanted to go sit in the fan section and watch it because it always sounded like much fun.
Yes,
If y'all come up there with us, you're gonna be on a mark with a tape recorder in your hand.
Tell it.
The last thing I want to talk about before we go on to this week's topic is the fans, because one of the things that Jamie and Jillian and some of the others who have had more exposure out and about at events is that sometimes fan encounters or soap fan encounters are good.
I
some of them are not necessarily.
I need you to clean that up. You said exposure. We ain't wearing no brown trench coat flashing nobody.
That is not what I meant, and I'm pretty sure everybody knows it. But I do. I know the story has been told on the podcast several times about Jamie's run-in with some All My Children fans in New York City. But and I've never had those experiences. My experiences with fans, I'll admit it.
You know, I am a fame whore. Anybody who's watched Gone with the Wind, I liken my relationship with Luke and joining this podcast and blog to Scarlett O'Hara when she married Mr. Kennedy, and Mr. Kennedy was like, he had all this lumber and stuff, but he wasn't charging nobody for it. And Scarlett was like, oh yeah, we finna start charging because I like to wear fancy dresses and I don't want my maid to have to keep pulling down curtains for the dresses. So DC had that kind of vibe. But
you know, at the end of the day, it is work. I mean, you're talking about four soaps that are on an hour a day, five times a week, and trying to keep up with it and everything that's happened prior to it. It's work. It's fun, but it's also work. There is a work component to it, so
it is work, but there's a lot of joys because, and I just wanted to finish this portion up, the fans over the last 900 episodes have been amazing. You can tell who reads our blog and as opposed to actually who listens to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And because the commenters in the comments can be a mix of the two, But oftentimes you'll find that the people who actually listen to the podcast have a different vibe. And the people who have been loyal and listened to the podcast over the years, people like Smitty, Tony Ann, Alan, any number of people, Josh even, yep. to the because have been amazing. And the experience of getting to, I haven't actually met any of them except for Josh in person, mm-hmm. but interacting with them in social media speaking for myself, interacting with them on social media for the most part has been a great experience. And hopefully someday I'll be able to meet some of those people, because at least with people like Smitty, Tony Ann, various others, I hope that should the opportunity come to meet them, that it will be as flawless as it was the first time I met Mike.
No, or the first it's going to be like the first that time Randy fan. No, you deserve to get some of this shade. I want that red. That
I'm pretty sure that Smitty would not do that to me.
If I tell him to, he will.
No, I just need to bring some Chipotle and Smitty will be fine.
No, that's my homie. Smitty Smitty is upgraded from Chipotle. So get your life. If I tell Smitty to shade you, he will. And
speaking of fans you tell to shade, I would also like to meet Xander Dash.
I don't tell Xander Dash to shade you now. Back up. I don't do that. Now, I was joking with the Smitty part. I don't tell Xander Dash to shade you. Now, he shades me all the time. He shades you because your ass deserves it.
Oh, well, regardless, there are fans.
I'm that Randy fan who accosted me. You know, I'm all Jillian. I'm all in Erica Kane mode because she comes up and she's like, are you Jamie Giddens from Daytime Confidential? And I'm like, what
did you do, me?
I'm turning all around like, hello, person. And she's like, I am the president of the Randy fan club. Frankie and Randy, I do not like how you be talking about Randy on that podcast.
And I'm let me tell you, I sat there like, ooh. And when she tried to come to me, she was like, hey, who are you? I said, I'm nobody.
Oh, Jillian and Pro were no help. They thought it was
no, because she said, I will defend Dan, because she said, you said, why you don't say nothing to Dan Crow? Dan said, yeah. I've had a talk with her. Trust me. I said,
well, all I'm saying is we have the most amazing loyal listeners, people who have some have listened since the very beginning, some who have discovered us in more recent years. If I get to events, I hope to meet some of the stars who I still have on my list of people who I'd like to meet. But equally as important is the opportunity to meet some of the fans.
I'm going to send your ass to Kate Fender's tea. That's what you're you will be covering Kate Linda's tea, and let me see. I'm gonna come up with some events for you to go to since you want to go.
No, I didn't say I want to go to events. I said I would like to meet the people, and
you don't meet them.
And I want to go, and I well because you never know in your travels. If I visit Washington D.C., there's people there who I'd like to visit.
That's
if there's
how I've
people
met
in
a
New York,
people. They've come here exactly. on business and they've reached out.
You just. Dizzle, for example. Dizzle. I mean, it would be great to meet him.
And I have one
him.
On the docket for
you
August.
You just want to see that boy with his shirt off is what you want to do.
There's no need for me to see him in person in that. He puts that all over Twitter. I'm not stating anything that isn't true.
He lifted the shade up and shut it down on you, child. I can't even defend you over
there. God, Dizzle, and look, help. If my breastises looked like that, I'd put them all over the Twitter, too. It's okay, God. Dizzle. You know, our listeners who aren't on Twitter are going to be like, who are all these people they're talking about? God, Jamie's back and he's already talking too much again.
You know that that's going to be the first comment. If Jamie just wouldn't yell so much on the podcast and interrupt Luke, that will be the first comment.
In he just never gets to share all of his wonderful, profound thoughts.
I guess I want to give one other shout out, and it's not so much DC related, but back in the day, Daytime Confidential was the first podcast on iTunes that covered all of the soaps. Like when I went and did the research on it, there was no other podcast that covered all the soaps and covered daytime. But there was one podcast that was on iTunes prior to us, which is the only other podcast that I ever listened to in soaps, which was the Pine Valley Podcast with Ashley and Jordan. Okay. And so I know that they like. I know that they're friends of the podcast, so I want to give a shout out to them. Also, I got to give a shout out to Wubs, a friend of the podcast from the very beginning
of
both the podcast and the site. And hopefully, the next 900 episodes will be as entertaining as the last 900 were.